Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
What's going on, and that He has a plan. We don't always see it. We don't always know. We don't see the storm coming, but the Lord always knows about them. Does it mean when we follow His plan that we will always avoid storms? No. Sometimes, in fact, when we follow His plan, we head straight for the storm. Sometimes that's why we don't want to follow His plan. We see the storm. Like, I don't want to face that storm. I'll just take the easy way. I'm not going to fight that battle. But the only way to victory, the only way to increasing faith is to go through the storm, to trust Him, because that's where He'll be.
The storms in life can seem daunting, especially when you lose sight of the One who holds the world in His hands. In today's message, Pastor Troy will encourage you to not lose sight of Jesus. The disciples thought that they had been abandoned, but Jesus didn't leave them to face the storm alone. He was near. He was watching. He was getting ready to calm the storm. Likewise, when you face a storm in your life, you're not alone. The Lord is near and is getting ready to calm the storm. The question is, do you trust Him? Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 6 as he begins his message, What You Need to Know Before the Storm.
We're in John chapter 6, verses 15 through 21. And the title is, What You Need to Know Before the Storms. Wouldn't you like to know things in advance? Like if they would tell you, like Anita said, if there was just a Bible, a version of the Bible that told me you're going to get out on this such and such day. I mean, each personal Bible, like you go to the store and Troy's Bible. Oh, from the Lord, Troy, my life personally with dates and everything. Oh, I'd feel so much better. I would buy that. But they don't have that one. We walk by faith, like Anita said. And today we read about the fact that there are storms that happen in our life, even in the will of God. See, today, Jesus' own disciples, they are in God's will, and yet they encounter a storm. I say that because some think that if you're in God's will, you shouldn't encounter storms, that it's making the wrong decisions, like everything's a consequence. All storms are a consequence of being in the wrong place. But that's not true. Jesus would say, that's bad philosophy. You're going to miss out on a lot of what I want to do if you bail every time there's a storm thinking you're in the wrong place. Things are a little too challenging. So we're reading today about a real storm, a literal storm, but we're going to consider the storms of life as we go through our study. You know, not all of us have been in a boat in the middle of the sea when a storm rages wild on us so that we feel out of control. However, we have all tried to navigate the waves of adversity and uncertainty. Everybody knows what it feels like to be on the sea of life, tossed about, feeling like everything's out of control because the waves just keep growing, the wind whips, and worries begin to rise. You have those dark clouds of isolation and fear roll over so that you can't even see the sun. It can be very disorienting, just like a storm out in sea. In fact, though this is a literal storm for the disciples, it's also a trial or test for them. And just as they learned some valuable lessons in this storm, we want to make sure that we learn some of the same lessons so that we can overcome in our own storms, that we're prepared. So here's what you need to know before the storms. Verse 15. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take Him by force to make Him king, He departed again to the mountain by Himself alone. Now when evening came, His disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, went over to the sea towards Capernaum, and it was already dark. Jesus had not come to them. The first thing we need to know before the storms is that the Lord has a plan. The Lord has a plan. We may not know that plan, but we can trust that the Lord has a plan. So the disciples are on a spiritual high at this point. Do you remember what's happened? Jesus just fed the multitudes with the loaves. That was pretty cool. The disciples picked up fragments. It's like, wow, this is amazing. But Jesus like shooes the party away. No time to celebrate. I want to enjoy this, man. We should talk about this all night. We want to be with Jesus. But Jesus doesn't even go with them. He sends them on ahead of him. Jesus knows what's going on. He knows what's in the hearts of those who are approaching. It says that they wanted to take him by force to make him king. So they're excited because of what he's done. They've heard all the miracles, and they go, this is a guy, we don't want to just chase him around. We want this guy ruling us. So they want to make him the king. You know what? That wasn't part of God's plan. Oh, he's a king. But right now, he didn't come to rule or judge in that way. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to establish a kingdom, the kingdom of God. This would be a kingdom that you would live in by faith. You would trust him as king by faith, not physically on a throne, not yet at this time, but one established by faith. So this wasn't part of God's plan that Jesus be taken up and lifted and put on a throne yet, not a physical one. So Jesus goes off to pray, and he sends his disciples on ahead of him to on the Sea of Galilee across to the other side. Now Mark gives us a little more information what's going on here. Mark chapter 6, verses 45 through 47 say this, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. When he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. We need to remember, we need to know before the storms, that God knows what's going on. And that he has a plan. We don't always see it. We don't always know. We don't see the storm coming. But the Lord always knows about them. Does it mean when we follow his plan that we will always avoid storms? No. Sometimes, in fact, when we follow his plan, we head straight for the storm. Sometimes that's why we don't want to follow his plan. We see the storm. Like, I don't want to face that storm. I'll just take the easy way. I'm not going to fight that battle. But the only way to victory, the only way to increasing faith is to go through the storm, to trust him, because that's where he'll be. Look at verse 18. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." The next thing we need to understand or know before the storms is that the Lord grows his people. The Lord grows his people. It was dark, and Jesus was not with them. They were alone. They felt alone. And I don't know if you've ever been out in the sea when it's dark, but it can be very dark for one, and it's easy to get disoriented if you don't know how to navigate by the stars or by, and in this case with the storm, you had no landmarks. So you didn't know which way was which. And so it was a very scary time, even for experienced fishermen. The storm picked up suddenly. The wind and weather worked against them. They're going the way God wants them to go. They're going the way the Lord has said. He pushed them off. Go to the other side. They're trying to go to the other side. But all of this seems to work against them. The storm felt like it was all on them to control, all on them to navigate. But what they didn't realize was that Jesus was watching them the whole time. Mark fills us in on some gaps again. Mark chapter 6, verses 48 through 50. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, would have passed them by. When they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." So he saw them straining the whole time. His eye was upon them. He had not abandoned them at all. Why did the Lord send them into the storm? And why alone? It's because part of God's plan is to grow your faith. To grow your faith. Faith is only able to grow when it's stretched, challenged. See, I would never challenge my faith. I like to know what's happening. I like it all under control. I like all the money in the bank. I like it a steady ground, stable. But the Lord lets the wind and the waves rise up on occasion. And it seems like he's not in the boat, or maybe no one's in the boat with me. It's just me. Because part of God's plan is to grow our faith. Think about the times that you've grown most. I guarantee you, you may not acknowledge it, you may not realize it, but the times that you grow most are during the trials. See, the trials, the storms rise up, and there's no other choice for you but to just hold on. Because you can either, it's either quit, fall away, walk away, blow away, whatever it is, or go, look, I have no choice but to trust you, Lord. And you send those roots in deeper. It makes no sense. I don't get it. I don't understand it. No one else understands it. But Lord, I know that you do. And I want to hold on to you. Help me. The redwood tree in California can grow up to 300 feet. Big tree. And the strength of the tree, you know that the roots are very shallow. The roots are shallow. But the strength is in the intertwining of the roots one with another. So the roots intertwine and kind of lock together, and it makes them very, very strong. That's kind of a picture of the church. You know, we need each other. We need each other for strength. Sometimes the winds blow, and it's good to have each other there to hold on to and to lift each other up. However, that's not what God wants for us primarily, that all of your strength is on everybody else. He wants us to be rooted in him. So, we need that kind of strength. We need that kind of support, but that can't be our primary strength because it's fragile at best. So, we need the Lord. Now, there's the palm tree. The palm tree can survive in the driest of climates. The palm tree, because of its roots, it'll search for water deep, deep, deep down. And everything around the palm tree can die of dehydration. But the palm tree can still find a way to survive because of its root system. It's rooted very deep. That's how God wants us to be. And that's why storms in our life, there are sometimes where it seems like no one else can understand, no one else can help, no one else is in the boat. Part of God's plan is to grow you in him.
Stay tuned to hear more from today's teaching on Building on the Solid Rock. Pastor Troy Neely has been sharing insights from God's Word with us. He'll have much more to share in the next part of this message. We are so glad you've tuned in today. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged by what you've heard. If you've been touched by this program, or if you have any questions about Building on the Solid Rock, we'd love to hear from you. Send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also find out more about this program by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Listen to previous teachings as well, and even subscribe to our podcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. The storms last as long as they need to last to help you grow your roots. See, he is the vine. We are the branches. We're told that we can do nothing unless we're entrenched in him, planted, deeply rooted in him. So there are times when God makes it so that our strength cannot come from our spouse. Our strength cannot come from our family. Our strength cannot come from our church, and it cannot come from our pastor. It cannot. It won't. God will not allow it. This is between you and him. He's growing your faith. You can talk to your pastor. You can do whatever you need to try to reach out for anyone to support, encourage, whatever it is. But you know this is a time. It's between you and God. And the only way through this storm is to dig down deep into his word, trusting in him and in him alone. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 say, "My brethren, Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Hey, let patience finish out. The word patience implies perseverance. Hang in there. It's that stick-to-itiveness that builds our faith. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say that they altered their course, they altered their plans, they quit something, they gave up, they pulled out, whatever it might be, because of some misunderstanding they find out later, or some unnecessary fear or worry. They altered the whole, I alter everything, I'm going to pull out, I'm going to quit. Oh, that wasn't true? Oh, I changed everything. So many times this happens. All you got to know is, did God send me out? Did God bring us forward? Then I'm going to ride the waves. And you don't have to fear. Ride the waves, because you're going to be fine. So when you do what God wants you to do, it's not always going to be smooth sailing. Sometimes you get pushback. Sometimes the storms arise. Ask any family who has teenagers. You get in the boat. God gets a hold of your heart. You want to organize. You say, all right, we got to start doing things God's way. We got to prioritize the Lord. And you will have those teenagers who go, well, I didn't ask for that. I don't want that. Why you got to change things for me? Let me graduate first before we change all the rules. And they will fight back. They will push back. I see some teenagers out here. I'm calling you out, but I'm not... I'm not getting on you, but it is true. Anyone who wants to follow the Lord, there are going to be struggles. There's going to be pushback. The storms will rise because God tests. And it seems like, did God even get in the boat with me? Hey, God doesn't need to get in a boat with you, because God can walk on the water. And there are times He wants you to feel like, I need to follow the Lord. I'm not just going to get in the boat and take a nap and let Jesus drive. Jesus, take the wheel. Good song, good point. Just came out. He can take the wheel. However, there are times where Jesus says, I want you to walk. I want you to obey. I want you, why don't you drive for a little bit, but do what I say, because I want you to grow up. It's what we do with our teens. It's what we do with our kids when they grow up. We teach them to drive. God's teaching us to navigate. He didn't say, why don't you just go to sleep and I'll do your life. He teaches us to walk, to navigate. There's a tendency to let the wind and the waves, when they rise up, to cause us to worry and to doubt, to fear, to question yourself and even question the Lord. But remember this, the Lord sees. He sees you and He cares for you. And His desire is to grow your faith, to challenge you. It's good for you that you go through these things. And guess what? These trials, they show where you're really at. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We will get to the other side. We will make it. We're going to be okay. Israel was told to go into the promised land. One of the first things that they did when they were about to enter the land was they sent out 10 spies. It's common, it's normal, it's not a lack of faith to do that. It's common sense, it's what you want to do. You go observe, you check it out, where we're going to go. And so they go in, they check it out. Now the problem was, only two of them came back, still on fire for the Lord. It's like the Lord said, man, it's awesome in there, let's go. Eight of them came back and said, I don't know if we can do this. I don't know, this is going to be too hard. There are giants in the land. Yeah, there's good stuff, like the Lord said, but this is going to be a hard task. And they came back afraid. They didn't have a positive report. They were negative. They were the ones that you go in and you go, man, let's follow the Lord. Yeah, like, no, we can't. I don't know what's the Lord. It can't be. And you got that negative feedback and the why change, the why invest, the why do this. And they didn't follow. They didn't want to do it. And listen to what Caleb said. Numbers chapter 14, verse 9. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. You see what he told them? Hey, don't rebel against the Lord. The Lord said, go in there. So for you to fear them and say, oh, can't do it, is rebellion. That's resisting the Lord. And he says, they're our bread. And what does that mean? They're our money. No. Lay it on me, man. No. What does bread do? It sustains and it feeds. It strengthens you. It helps you to grow. So what he's saying is these difficulties, these challenges, these people here, God's going to use them to strengthen us. We need them. We need to go into this battle because it's good for us. He understands that. And then ultimately he says, we can do this. The eight outnumbered the two, and the rest of the people, and we're going through this on Wednesday nights, and the rest of the people grumble and complain and fear, and they side with the eight, because that's what happens when the mob rules, and they end up not going into the land, but wandering. Instead of going into the land, they meander through life for 40 years instead of trusting the Lord. Here's one thing that you need to know. You will never grow until you eat the bread that God sets before you. And often, it's in the form of a trial or task. Doing things God's way where you are. But there's more. Praise the Lord. Verse 21. Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Last thing that we want to know today before we go into the storms, and that is this: the storms will pass. They will. You're going to be okay. God has not promised you smooth sailing in life. In fact, he said the opposite. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation. You will have troubles. But he has promised you a safe landing. We will make it. God knows exactly how much storm you need and how much storm you can handle to build your faith. He cares about you. He's building in you a godly heart. His desire is to build in you a godly heart. It really depends on how you respond to the trials and things that happen. Because you can respond and become bitter and turn and go away, or you can finally let go and let God be God and become better. God makes such beautiful people out of adversity and trial. Some of those that I've known that I admired the most experienced adversity and trial. Anita going through some of the health things that she had gone through and retiring early, coming now and serving the Lord depending on his strength. And I knew another woman just like her named Lorraine, who was terminal. And she was always, you would know, she would help you. You'd be down. You got a stuffy nose or something like that. And she's, oh, I'm so sorry. I pray. You're dying. And she's more concerned about you. You say, my goodness. It's very humbling. Notice it says immediately the boat was at the land. Jesus gets in and boom, they're at the land. This is one of those minor miracles that takes place. Suddenly it's over. All of the sudden, it's over because Jesus is in the boat. Jesus is here. You know, you go through a trial, a storm. You finally look to the Lord and go, okay, whatever you want, Lord. I give up, whatever you want. It's crazy. We got to give up.
That's all we have time for today on Building on the Solid Rock. Next time, Pastor Troy Needley will teach again in the book of John as he goes verse by verse and chapter by chapter through this gospel book. If this series has been a blessing to you, would you let us know? Send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love to hear from our listeners about their experience with this ministry. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program. In addition to hearing encouraging messages here on the radio, it's important to be involved in a local church. If you live in or are visiting the San Antonio area, come visit Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. You'll find service times on our church website. Just follow the link from buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're unable to be there in person, join us online. Again, our website, is buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all for today. Be sure to tune in again for more from the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your